Okay, I have to tell you.
I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the...
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your...
windshield wipers. eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things, people, love.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
Hi, I'm Daniel Leakes, and welcome to Abstract Essay, where ideas take shape, thoughts find depth, and every conversation explores the art of thinking beyond the obvious. And today I have my special guest, voice of a global influence and insightful, very insightful storytelling, none other than Dr. Ron Berger.
Hi, Daniel. How are you today?
I'm fabulous, fabulous. Dr. Rod.
I expect nothing less from you, Daniel. I love your energy.
Thank you so much. And welcome on Abstract Essay. And can you please introduce more about yourself that I missed?
Absolutely. And here's my shameless plug, right? I have my new book, The Narrative Edge, Authentic Storytelling That Meets the Moment. My publisher is Wiley, and that is coming out. It's available for pre-order wherever books are sold, or you can visit my website at drrodberger.com. But Daniel, I have conducted over 4,000 interviews, hence the gray hair. I am endlessly passionate and curious about people's stories, and not just those that we either read about, watch on TV or film, or celebrate in an athletic endeavor. I am curious about everybody. The people that work at the grocery store, the dad on a soccer field watching his son. And that curiosity has taken me around the world to capture some incredible stories. And I've been very blessed in that regard.
And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world, Dr. Rod. And we are looking forward for more and more empowering books like this to come. So let's talk about the writing and research process of this book. This book likely required both deep research into a narrative theory and analysis of the current events. How did you structure your research process to balance these two aspects?
So that's a great question, Daniel. I will tell you that I for those that are writers that are either watching or listening to us live, and everybody should be following Daniel and all of his incredible shows, that was the biggest question that I had for myself as well. When I started the process, Daniel, was, okay, I know, I sort of know where I want to end, but do I know how to get there? And that was the biggest challenge. I think for myself, and I don't know about other writers out there, I had to actually, this sounds very sort of uncouth or unprofessional in this regard, but I had to just allow myself to write and let it come to me, right? I think that the natural tendency for a lot of folks, and I'm right there with them, is to figure out what the formula is, or the equation to a book. You know, what's the rhythm of the book? And actually, that's a really key word for me. So when we talk about research, I mean, this is a book that what I wanted to do intentionally was to write something from a process perspective that felt much more like an album. I'll date myself a little bit. Where you've got side A and side B, and you just know that if I'm picking up Daniel Lucas's latest album, that I'm going to understand sort of the sentimentality, the tone, sort of where you're taking me based on the cover art, based on even just hearing a sample of one of the songs. And so there's a similar tone and energy about the songs on a given album, but they are independent of one another. And you can listen to one out of order and still gain something from it. So for me, I had to do that first. And then I had to go, the hardest part, Daniel, was actually going through the litany of interviews and stories and trying to map where were the common themes in given stories, right? If I'm going to take you in a chapter to a refugee camp in Eastern Africa, how in the world do I connect that thematically and also within the objective that I'm trying to convey to the reader when I'm behind the scenes at Formula One or I'm visiting the late Pope Francis in Rome? And so that was, now looking back, I look at it fondly, but there were definitely moments that were conflicted because you feel like you have to get it right. Just like in a song, where's the bass line come in, right? Is the tempo fast enough? So looking back, I think of it fondly and it was a lot of fun, but in that moment of trying to align stories, I very quickly realized that there could be what feels like endless variations of this book based on maybe the mood or an idea that hit me or that a former guest, sort of pinged me on social media and it you know, brought up a memory. So that was the initial process, was to try to figure out what stories mapped around common themes.
Dr. Rod, were there any surprising case studies or examples you discovered while researching that fundamentally changed your perspective on how narrative works?
Yeah, I think there is it's a battle within, I think, ourselves. I would think a lot of writers would maybe echo this, probably echo this, in that once I understood how I wanted to arrange my chapters, then I had to really think about what was the experience, because I wanted to have some level of repetition, meaning that you understood where the harmony was coming in. And so if you ended one chapter, the next chapter would start and end in a similar fashion, just from the sort of the technique of writing. But I came to that only because I understood that I had to give up some level of control, that I had to think of story broadly as almost an entity, as if I had a relationship with this concept of story. So that there were plenty of times where I'd mapped out and thought about and outlined a given chapter. But you know, Daniel, you sit down, you stare out the window, you listen to a song, because a big part of my process is listening to movie scores when I write. And when I find one where I really feel like I'm sort of in the zone, it's on repeat. I will listen to the same song for hours on repeat. So, you know, that may say more about me than it does the reader, but there were plenty of times where I went off script, right? It's like improv and acting. You know, a memory hit me. I mean, I had one that absolutely, probably the most significant one was, I'm a big sports fanatic and sports have played a large part, a significant role in my own life. And I remembered a very pivotal sports moment for myself as a kid. And I thought, well, wait a minute, how could I have not thought about this through the development of this book? And that was an aha moment for me to say, again, I can't control it. I can only loosely go in with a feeling, and you sort of just have to sit down at the piano and see where your fingers take you, right? And the same way that your keyboard with your computer. So it was really about letting go of that control. And whenever I let go of the control, my writing, at least from my perspective, right? I'm biased. I may have a fan of Daniel Lucas, but you know, we'll see what happens with the book. But that's when I feel like it flourishes, when the sequences and the mapping and the overlapping, I can see them clear as day. Only when I try to control my writing and say, this is how many words I need for this chapter, or, you know, let me fill in the edges and then build from, you know, within. That's when I struggle. That's when I'm at a loss. And I feel like probably most people, right? I think people, right, they fear public speaking, and I think they fear writing just as much. And so I have to, that's what I've learned through this process, that for my, you know, the books to come, it's going to be all about that control and asking myself actively that question, right? Have I given up control? Because I needed to do that from a process perspective, because otherwise the humanity, I think, would not show through in the writing.
Yes. And the first day I did publish our episode on Book 101 Review, I got 1,000 downloads. That's on the first day, Mr.
Wow.
But Dr. Rod, I hope I can help you to promote the narrative ads. And how did you approach the challenge of making your own narrative in the book? Is it the structure, voice, and flow, or authentic and demonstration, that very principles you were teaching?
So fantastic question. I'll sort of get on my soapbox, if you don't mind, Daniel. even a young person, I never liked it. Always sort of grated on me when there were adults that acted as if they had never walked a similar path as a youth, right? They were in essence born to be a professor or a boss or a CEO. And you just sit there and you start to get cynical and say, I'm making a wild guess that you were once a toddler. You know, you once probably spilled your Cheerios and, you know.
Okay, I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things, people, love.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
it's happening.
Booyah!
Yes!
Crushed it. But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Made mistakes and said things you shouldn't have and gotten in trouble. And I was, one area that I was absolutely dead set on was, how do I understand my own voice and how transparent can I be? And I literally just checked with a couple of people in my family and said, you know, just as a point of respect, to say, is everything game with this book, or is there anything that you know, you'd rather I not write about? And I was given, you know, the support to say, in essence, you do you, right? And so I did. And so I don't know what the actual percentage is, but I will tell you that my story is interwoven throughout the entire book, because I think it would be disingenuous for me to write a book about meeting the moment authentically and understanding your narrative edge if I just gave you 7 steps to writing a story. And I really believe, I trust the reader. And I trust that even if people struggle to tell stories or understand how to convey stories sort of publicly outside of their own mind, they all want to. They all have those conversations inside their head when they lay down at night, when they're in a dark movie theater, when they're sitting at a stoplight, when they're in line for something and it's taking forever. You have these conversations, story does pop up. And so I owed it to the reader to be as vulnerable as I know how to be. And so, you know, accuse me of integrating in some memoir elements to it, but I wanted people to get different experiences of story and to walk away and say, I didn't really think consciously that story is a part of every element and morsel of my day and my life here on planet Earth. And so I had, by, you know, as that sort of as my charge, I had to write about my own experiences, my failures, right? This is not a look at me, look what I've done, which is why my book trailer, I don't know if you've seen my book trailer, Daniel, that 11 Films did, but that was very... They did an incredible job. They are so talented. But it was hard at first because this is not about me. This is ultimately about you. And hopefully there's the proverbial sort of extended hand that I'm putting out to the reader and saying, you know, I'm with you and I appreciate you, because without you, I wouldn't have stories to tell, to contemplate, to connect, off camera, on camera, at the airport, at a refugee camp. So it is definitely a relationship that I have with the reader, and I have to be authentic.
Authentic indeed. So what was the most difficult chapter or concept to write, and why?
Well, probably the most difficult is it was a decision that I made. And it's funny where you get confirmation that the creative decision you made was probably pretty good. So I had a family member, an extended family member who died in her early 30s with three children. They didn't pass away, I should say, but she did. And because I'm sort of the writer in the extended family, it was asked that I would provide the eulogy at the graveside service. What a task, right?
Yes.
And so I, for whatever reason, thought that is a story that we will all face at some point in time. We will either be sitting there grieving graveside, we will be giving a eulogy, we will have that moment where we read about someone that we grew up with or a former teacher that's passed away when we read of their passing, and we will immediately have a rush of stories or emotions or feelings and energy that passes through us. And I thought, you know what? If I do this right, I think it will hit in the way it's intended, the spirit of which it's intended. And so you get to read that word for word. And that was probably the hardest decision that I made, because one, I wanted to be respectful to the family members. And I also really wanted to respect the reader as well in the way in which it was conveyed. It wasn't about, wow, look at the prose that I'm using as a writer. It's more about how do you capture somebody's life in, you know, 5 to 7 minutes when you have dark clouds swirling around you, literally, and you have young children that are trying to understand at the best that they can that their mother is gone. And so I had confirmation. I was doing an interview with Peter Samuelson. He's a very accomplished movie producer in Hollywood. I forget how many, you know, north of 20 films and some very famous and iconic ones. And he has an incredible nonprofit with Steven Spielberg. And he had a book come out about finding happy. So I interviewed him, Daniel, right? So the microphones were turned, the screens were turned. And in his book, we talked about he made the choice to provide the eulogy that he had given when he had a family member pass away. And I just felt this immediate sort of connection with him in that someone who is as accomplished as he is in helping to prop up and display and present story believed that that was an important component to people finding happy in their own lives. And so I don't think I needed that, but it was just a really nice sign. Sometimes the universe just sends a sign and says, you know what, it's going to be received as intended. But that was the most critical of the entire book. That was the most critical element. And then I would add to that probably, you know, I don't know about you, Daniel, and I know your love of literature, and I'm not a painter, but mm-hmm. I take so serious conclusions that I write, whether it's when I was writing with Forbes or any magazine, it's the final paragraph. It's that final line that I feel like I'm putting my signature on. You know, yes. It's like there's a practice, and I don't know who I should attribute it to, and I've heard it in different formats, but this notion that at the end of your day at work, sign your name, put your signature down in your calendar, right? As if to say, I gave my all today. That's always stuck with me. And I learned that lesson probably 20 years ago. And I wouldn't say that I do that every day by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think about that, especially in my writing process. And so outside of providing that eulogy, I was I battled myself. It was like a game of intense ping pong or something like that, going back and forth. We say, how do these guys, you know, how do these professionals?
Send a little sunshine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can save up to 30% off during our sunflower sale. Our farm fresh sunflowers are grown across the Americas. Each bloom is carefully selected so your gift shines as bright as the season. Whether it's a thoughtful surprise or a milestone celebration, these long-lasting blooms are guaranteed to impress. Shop our sunflower sale today and save up to 30% off at 1-800-Flowers.com/SXM. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/SXM.
At Floor & Decor, large in-stock selection is a given, not a gimmick. Complete projects for any budget with our in-stock tile, wood, stone, laminate, and more. From luxury vinyl flooring to bathroom fixtures, we've got what you need when you need it. Get the job done with our wide selection. Now in stock at your local Floor & Decor in Murfreesboro. Visit us in-store or online at flooranddecor.com.
How do they perform in this way with that speed? And so that was very critical. How do I sign off with this book? You know, I wanted to come across as just me, right? And if that meant that it felt like I was your friend, or that, you know, I cared enough to write about stuff that maybe we don't verbalize, then I guess I've done my job, right? So yes. Those were two very critical moments for me.
You did a great job, Dr. Rod. On the principles and framework, can you walk us through the core framework of the book? What are the essential pillars or steps to crafting a narrative that truly meets the moment?
Yeah, so the way that I crafted it, and what's interesting is, and I want to thank everybody out there that's pre-ordered, and pre-orders, I did not know this, but pre-orders are so essential to an author. It's not about the financial side of it. It's about the algorithms of all of these online
yes.
book retailers, right?
Sure.
So if you're inclined to pre-order the book, I want to make sure people know this. If you are inclined to pre-order the book, you will get the lost chapter. The lost chapter you're going to get. And you're also, if you sign up for my newsletter, you will get a preview of the book as well. So I'm trying to honor those that are committing to me. Before it hits bookstores in a couple of months. But the structure was, and I should say, because of the pre-orders and all the sort of and the support of the Daniel Lucases of the world, I've been asked now to write a companion guide to the Narrative Edge. So it's incredibly exciting and it's very humbling. And so, you know, if you read the Narrative Edge, my hope is that you're going to want to have the companion guide as a way that it's in essence, like I'm right there with you, and we're walking through how to understand and decode your story in a way that is applicable and promotes growth, just as a person, a professional, a parent, a community member, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, and you know, an entrepreneur, a CEO. That's the intention around that. And so the structure is, look, I'm asking you questions throughout the book. And they're questions that I have struggled with. That was the threshold for me. Are these questions that I have asked myself? And if I haven't answered them, what is my answer to the very question? And how do I apply it? And so, you know, I think about it and I ask some very simple questions, especially in the outset of the book, which is, you know, if you don't own your story, Daniel, who does?
Yes.
Right? What role do you play in your story? And are you comfortable in that role, or have you been put in that role, right? It's like a school play in elementary school or primary school where somebody has to play the oak tree in the back corner. Somebody has to play the lead character or the romantic interest or the hero or the protagonist. And all of those roles are important in what ends up being the story that is presented. But it's understanding the roles that we have played, those that we're currently in, and those that we would like to play in the future. And they don't have to be isolated to one part of our life. But you'll find, Daniel, that there are people that feel like they are in control of their narrative at work, but not at home, or vice versa. And so I don't want to give the answer in that regard, but I want to pry open the opportunity to invite curiosity into the reader's lives.
Dr. Rod, a lot of storytelling advice focuses on classic structure. How does your approach adapt or expand upon these classic models for our current fast-paced and often skeptical climate?
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a key point, which is to understand the context with which we live. We live in a world now where you can put out news in these sort of short micro bursts through social media that can be very visual, very cinematic at the touch of a button. You can put out press releases. You can sort of buy placements now. I mean, the entire narrative landscape has changed. So really, I think you cannot go further than understanding why you want to get a story out or how you want to tell your story and how it's being done by others, right? You do have to do some research and understand if it's a business story that needs to get out. Well, what are your competitors doing? How is the audience receiving it? Are we aware of conditions that might impact the tone or the tonality, the sentiment of the message or the marketing or the advertisement that we're putting out there? Because we don't want to be tone deaf. And I think a lot of us, we think about that in sort of bigger terms, but we could be tone deaf in our personal lives as well, right? We definitely live in a more of a me society. And that is challenging on one hand, because you just want to share your story potentially. But it potentially is an opportunity for those that are willing to go down that storytelling rabbit hole and understand their motivations, right? Their motivations for interacting with the world in the way that they do. And so I think that that's first and foremost. And then from there, you surround yourself with creative people that question, that don't just say yes and acknowledge whatever you initially said was sort of the right path or way. And I think through that, you find what you're comfortable with. Some people are very comfortable presenting and speaking and sharing their story. And others, it's about that internal story that just changes their energy, the way in which they convey that to people and those that they care about, their families and their communities.
Dr. Rod, you emphasize authenticity. How does a brand or individual discover the authentic narrative without just inventing a marketing-friendly version of themselves?
Oh, I love that. So in essence, how do they apply a critical eye to their own story?
Yes.
I think that a lot of that has to do with the stories that you're a part of and the communities, right? It's those communities that you're a part of that I think make a big difference, because they reflect upon you their experience of the stories that you are putting, in essence, out into the community. And that's where the critical questions come. And if you're asking the critical questions of yourself, gosh, I just believe in humanity, Daniel, too much. I just believe that if you're asking those questions, and you don't have to ask them to other people, right? Because that puts you automatically in a vulnerable state. But ask them inside your own mind and think them through. Because if you can't come out of that understanding that, you know what, yeah, I'm flawed to some degree, we all are.
Yes.
Then you know, that's a conversation for another day. So I just believe enough in humanity that if we're critical and we provide an audit of ourselves, we really can break it down. And I've seen that. I mean, you ask a good question, you know this, you're a professional. A good question begets curiosity.
True.
And it invites a connection point. If I ask you a poignant question about your life, Daniel, inherently, you're noticing, you're picking up that there's something that I sense in you that I understand, even if I'm asking a question that I'm perplexed by, because I can see you, I can hear you, I'm listening to you. And that kind of connection and awareness impacts people's stories.
Dr. Rod, in the age of deepfakes and AI-generated content, how does a very definition of authentic storytelling need to evolve?
Well, that's going to be that's the question of our time, isn't it? You know, how do we understand it? I've always gone by the notion of, it's sort of a crass statement that a lot of people have probably heard, especially in the West, but it's this notion of garbage in equals garbage out. And so I think there will be, again, there are plenty of people out there that think, oh, I can just ask AI to put together something that is powerful, that is, you know, that has a deep sense of humanity and vulnerability. Well, AI can do a lot of amazing things, but if you really want to see what amazement, sort of what it can do from a literature perspective or just a storytelling, give it something good. Give it something good, right? And to rely on a third party is basically what you're doing. You'd be like, Daniel, could you please write my story? You know, I know I wouldn't put that on anybody, right? That would, that just may not be as fun as one might imagine. That you're not going to get the same feeling about that, right? So I think it's the people that understand you've got to start with something foundational. And then you can start to understand how to organize that foundation, right? That sort of that clay, where you can then mold that. So I think that old adage, garbage in, garbage out, applies And I think we have to make sure, we have to ensure that young people have a very critical eye and that they're very curious, because being curious leads to a relationship with prompts and how you interact with AI and the ways in which you think, the mind bending of thinking, wait a minute, it just produced X. What if I ask it a follow-up? What if I keep going? And you start to distill down and understand, okay, so it comes full circle. But that only happens if you're obviously putting in good information, good prompts to start, and research. So I think we have to be very mindful. It's very nice to just sort of snap our fingers and think that it's going to change our lives or tell our stories in a very powerful way.
Very well said. Dr. Rod, very well said, and totally, totally empowering. And before we wrap up our discussion for today, I'm inviting you to listen to my other podcast, people. My other podcast, because my abstract essay is already in fifth season. Abstract Poetry in second season, and my Book 101 review in fifth season too. Comedy 101 in second season, and my Food 101 in fifth season as well. Geography 101 in fourth season, and my baby podcast, Law 101, and Mental Health 101, Love Letters in third season, and Movie 101 review and Music 101 in fourth season, and Science 101 and Sex 101 in its first season. Please listen to them wherever you listen to your podcasts. So, Dr. Rod, finally, if a reader could take only one thing away from the narrative ads, what would you want that one thing to be?
That their story matters.
Yes, indeed. It really matters. And we need to create more story like Mr. Rod or Dr. Rod. And we are looking for that follow-up book. Dr. Rod?
Well, thank you, Daniel.
So can you please invite our listeners to support the narrative ads?
Absolutely. You can go to drrodberger.com. That's also my social handle on all the platforms. Please IM me, send me notes. I respond. I really love engaging with people that are interested in the book and the topic of storytelling. And I just implore folks that if you are leaning towards pre-ordering, I would love it if you would, because the success of this book will allow me to go down more rabbit holes and hopefully share the stories of people that otherwise wouldn't be able to share that story. So Daniel, you are a great one in this space. I appreciate it. You are a part of the story for me, and I'm forever indebted to you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, people, let's support Dr. Rod, because if you support him, for sure, more and more and more empowering storytelling to come. So Dr. Rod, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Daniel.
More to come, people. See you soon.
At Floor & Decor, large in-stock selection is a given, not a gimmick. Complete projects for any budget with our in-stock tile, wood, stone, laminate, and more. From luxury vinyl flooring to bathroom fixtures, we've got what you need when you need it. Get the job done with our wide selection. Now in stock at your local Floor & Decor in Murfreesboro. Visit us in-store or online at flooranddecor.com.